Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Good morning and welcome to National Talk Black. You're on Bala Matty and come to you via the National Indigenous Radio Service. Just letting you mob know, we went down to the climate change case Prince conference that was down at the Cairns Magistrates Court. Now we're going to cross over to that audio. Enjoy.
Today we are honored to have you here on the land of the Gimawalra Yidingi people, the land where the great warrior Kuyum was born just down here. And Kuyum went throughout the Torres Strait to Sabai and to PNG and back again. And that storyline still sits here with us today. Because today, we, our brothers and sisters from the islands, brothers and sisters here in Gimoy, Walbara, to welcome you here, to have you here. We are honored for that day. Such warrior have come again, and that warrior will continue to fight for justice on Gimawalra Yidingi land. And today we are with you in spirit, and the spirit of Kuyum will continue to walk the footprints of our ancient people, and the great warrior Kuyum have walked this country and is with you. And through us, we walk together as Yidingi and the islands of Torres Strait with Sabai. But it's great to have you here on Gimawalra Yidingi country to take the fight forward from our great warriors, both from here, and we are sisters and brothers. Thank you.
Globally significant climate change cases to ever happen. It is being brought by Torres Strait Islander people who are seeking the Australian government to actually do what they say that they will do and actually look after the place of Australia and the people in it. This morning we're going to hear from a really special range of people, including Senior Elder Auntie McRose Ilu. We're going to be hearing from Uncle Pabai and Uncle Paul. We're going to be hearing from bushfire survivors and flood survivors from across Australia. And we're going to be hearing from Jennifer Robinson, International Human Rights Barrister, and Counsel for Vanuatu in the International Court of Justice Advisory Opinion. We then have a performance by Christina Anu, and we will also be seeing the Boyu dance crew. So please stick around for questions at the end of Spokes, and then also through the week, let us know if you'd like to speak to anyone, follow-ups, because that would be fine. First of all, I'd like to just take a moment to pay my respects to multiple families who are currently experiencing sorry business from multiple islands, and Saibai, Duan, Boyu and Badu, and just pay my respects and the respects of the whole Rada team before introducing Auntie McRosie and Lou to speak.
Good morning, everyone. This is a day that we have been waiting for, the long journey of our people from Saibai and Boyu. The frustration, the grief of losing our islands. We are here today. We're going to stand in solidarity, in unity and in faith, all together with our legal team and the presiding judge. We're going to be with them in spirit to encourage them to walk this path for justice, what is rightfully ours, and to resurrect our island, which is so sacred and intimate for our people. Where we're from, this is a cry for many, many, many years, the survival of our people on Saibai and Waidu that has been forgotten for many years. Where we are just on the doorstep of this country that have a duty of care from federal government. Where is it? So today we're going to stand in solidarity and in justice and in spirit together to encourage this walk to the victory as well.
As you all know, my name is Uncle Paul Khabai. I'm from Saibai. I'm a dog to my clan person, to the Maluka Nation, this nation up near the top western islands of Torres Strait, Boyu, Saibai, and Duan. So I'm standing here in front of the courthouse today to represent my voice to the world, what we have been going through here by calling out Khabai. It's been a long journey for us. It took us 4 years to get to this moment here. And the feeling I've got now today is I'm overwhelmed by the crowd of the islanders and the media was here today. It gives me the pleasure, like, to show the world what we want and what we have been battling through. So I think, I've covered everything. It's time now to have our voice put out on the table and let the government hear what the needs are for Torres Strait, not only Torres Strait Islands. It's all around the world who have been affected by the climate change. And as we all know, that Torres Strait, Saibai and Boyu are the main low-lying islands in the Straits, and the central islands, they are Coral Cay, and our islands are sinking, definitely sinking. So that's why me and Papa and Uncle Papa put our hands up and put our voice on the table to government to listen to us. So it's best to have, it's time now to change. Otherwise, I would probably, it will be too late. If government will hear our voice, then we will survive. If government won't listen to us, we will be a clumsy refugees in our own islands. Thank you.
Thank you, Abakul.
As we all know, my name's Tabai Tabai. I'm from Gudumarugal Nation, which is located in the Torres Strait, Top Western, Boigoel. As you can see that Uncle Cohen that mentioned, it's been a very big battle that we come through for the climate cases. First of all, I must take my hat off to the Hunties doing the welcome to the country. And I might say that to all the beautiful people that gathered here today, this morning, I'd like to invite you all to this ceremony. I'm standing here, not myself. I'm standing here to represent the world, the Torres Strait, indigenous, non-indigenous people. If we are victim, fire victim, flood victim, this is the time that we must come to and stop. Talk to our government. What it's all about. This is what we need. Now we're coming to the closing argument as we're standing here on our journey of 4 years battling for our community, for the Torres Strait, for the people, to our land, future, and generation. I'm standing here for the generation. I believe that whatever we do in our community is for the future generation to come, to live the better livelihood. Good. Kapu mumbai kal chipuna ki kali jangau. Aye bol kapu kibo ketan gasa po. Ina rupi zaget. Ina rupi zaget. Aye bil palawa. Ina muru mumbai kapu. Nal punu inse na kamu mumbai kaki palai po. Let's make it one voice around the world for the indigenous people. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Uncle Haba and Uncle Paul. To those of you who have just joined us in the last few minutes, my name is Isabel Reinicke from Grassfund. We're here for the Australian Climate Case, which is being brought by Uncle Haba and Uncle Paul against the Australian government. We're not here on our own, though. We're here with people who have survived climate impacts throughout the country. People are experiencing floods, as they did recently in Cairns, in New South Wales. They're experiencing fires in WA, and these things are happening all at once and all the more frequently. So we're especially honoured to have 3 survivors join us today. I'd like to welcome Joe Dobbs, who is the president of the Bushfire Survivors for Climate Action and comes all the way from Bega in New South Wales. Her community has been hit by extreme bushfires, most notably in 2019 and again in 2019-2020 in the notorious Black Summer fires. Noelle Maxwell is a Mullumbimby resident from New South Wales who experienced the 2022 floods, which devastated her home and the community. Noelle is contributing to the town's continuing recovery efforts after many and herself lost their homes during those floods. Yes. And Jade Vivian is here as well, a fierce climate activist and bushfire survivor from Kangaroo Island, who first heard about Uncle Pabai and Uncle Paul's case when she connected with Auntie McRose, Chelsea Aniba, and Timina Nona and Betty Dow in Canberra recently, as they shared their experience of climate disaster and harm caused by climate change. So I'd like to welcome these 3 beautiful women up to the stage now. Hello, and thank you to everyone who has come to cover this case. It's very important that we make sure that this message goes out globally. And thank you so much to the aunties for the welcome.
And thank you most of all to the beautiful First Nations people everywhere who are fighting this case on behalf of all of us. I come from a community on the far south coast of New South Wales that's been devastated multiple times now by fire, and in between those fires we've had floods. I come from a community that keeps being told if we were more resilient it would be easier, and I'm here to say there is no way that communities like mine can be any more resilient than we are, and we're still not able to recover from the fires that we're experiencing. We've lost over 400 houses in the last couple of years from fire alone. There's not much more that we can do as individual human beings to make ourselves safer. We need the federal government to be stepping in and reducing the emissions urgently, because otherwise there is nothing that we can do as individuals, as communities, as First Nations people to make ourselves safer. So that's why this case is so important to me, to my community, to everybody else here, today and everywhere. I'll hand over.
Thanks, Joe. I'm from Mullumbimby, which is in the Northern Rivers, and seven LGAs were affected during the 2022 floods 2 years ago. One of the main things is that for our Indigenous people down at Cabbage Tree Island, they've been taken off their island and are unable to return to it due to the flooding, and they've been housed in temporary pots, which basically they're still in their temporary pots, and there's no plan that I know of for the future. So this really resonates with their experience to date and how they're actually off their island and no longer able to return. The rest of the LGAs have been apparently being helped to be made resilient, but the funding hasn't come through, and so most of the people, at least three quarters of the people, will not receive any funding to help them become more resilient, that is with house raising and retrofits. So into the future, that's what we're looking at, non-resilience and not the adequate help that we need to become resilient to the future. But the reality is that we have to look at total climate change. We have to stop moving that forward, and we have to stop. And I urge all grandparents to use their time wisely that they have to oppose fossil fuels and to advocate for moving forward in a proactive way.
Hi, my name is Jade Vivian. I'm from Kangaroo Island in South Australia. I had the privilege to meet Auntie McRose from Saibai Island when I travelled to Canberra within the last month with the Climate Alliance Network of Australia. I travelled there after having lost a lot of our island. Almost 50% of the island was burnt during this 2019-2020 Black Summer bushfires, which devastatingly impacted so much of the community. We stand here today as bushfire survivors, as flood survivors, and the general community impacted by climate, to stand here in unity today and rally around our Indigenous community and highlight the importance of their voices being spoken. We stand here in support of them today, in hopes that the government listen and take action. Thank you.
Thank you so much, ladies. So we're going to hear from one more speaker, and then we'll go to questions, which I'll help facilitate. Reminder, people are available for interview during the week, so just let us know. So I'd like to introduce Jennifer Robinson. Jennifer is a leading international human rights barrister, and she's currently counsel for Vanuatu in the International Court of Justice advisory opinion. She's a climate advocate and a human rights advocate, and I'd like to introduce her to you all to say a few words. Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. As counsel for Vanuatu, I'm here to pay my respects to Uncle Paul and Uncle Habai for their incredible principled leadership on what is a global problem. This is not just happening here in the Torres Strait and in Australia, it's happening across the Pacific and the world. Small island peoples and small island states who have contributed the least to climate change are suffering the worst of its consequences. It's for that reason that Vanuatu has responded to grassroots movements across the Pacific, the Pacific Students Action Network for Climate Change, and their own people, in taking this the world's biggest problem to the world's highest court, and I'm proud to act for them and to represent those movements in this climate action globally. We're hoping that that case will force and encourage more ambitious climate action. And this litigation here today is part of that same global effort. And I really want to pay tribute to the local community and to you all for taking up this fight. But it can't just be about the law. We have to hold Australia accountable for their failure to take more ambitious climate action. And it begins here in the courts, but it continues in the streets and it continues in our community. Finally, as a proud founding board member of the Grata Fund, I want to congratulate our team, to Isabel Reinecke and to the entire team for their work in supporting this and making this case possible. I'm a proud board member and I'm proud of the work that this is achieving in Australia. Thank you.
So, do we have any any questions?
As we can see right now, first of all, I must say the duty of care for the Australian government that not helping the people of the Torres Strait Islander, the people of the Pacific Islander brothers and sisters, and this is very important for us to put our hands up and try to knock on the government doors that we are eligible to if we need to stop this as soon as possible, keeping us the reduce of the for climate impact that we're going to our communities.
Can you tell us a little bit about the journey you've taken to be here today? It's a long journey since it's all began.
That is correct. We've been on a journey for 4 years, and we've been around the world trying to implement the climate case of the Torres Strait to see the impact to the world and the Pacific brothers and sisters also, that what the impact is look like. And it's 4 years, and this time of the day that we're coming to the closing argument to the government that I'm back of my head that I'm we'll get something out of it from the government.
Canberra's a long way from Saibai Island. Do you think they understand the gravity of the situation?
The very important part of this, we must influence this information across and to state that the government, let them know that if we need help for the people of the Torres Strait, by all means that we need to be engaged with the government that notify where is the Torres Strait Island now, and to knock on the government door that we are the people that need help for the climate impact.
Okay, thank you so much, Ladies. Thank you everyone so much for coming down. In a moment we're going to have a very special performance, a couple of performances. While those are setting up, I'd just like to ask everybody here who's here in support to stay where you are, so we're going to take a few photos. We're first of all going to hear from, have a beautiful performance from Christine Arnoux and her daughter Zipporah Arnoux. They're being supported by Danny from the Night Shift, local band. And I'll let you guys start to get ready and set up while we take a few photos, and then we'll be seeing a beautiful performance from the Boigu Island Dance Group. So stick around, thanks.
Born on Saibai, and their parents, Use and Yuan, my great-great-grandparents, born on Saibai, and also my connection to Buai in Buigu through the Samu clan. And this is my little shadow today. It's so important to pass on how important the memories that have been passed down through us. My father, my grandfather was a very important composer. I have collected a lot of his songs, and I'm about to put out an album of songs that were composed by my grandfather post-war. And funnily enough, the words are very connected back to his home. It was like he was looking into the future and talking about Yagar Saibai. I will share those songs at the community night, but I'm looking after my mum these days. And I think about that really horrible time in the future when the pain of losing my mother, because once you lose your mother, you've lost her in Bigor. And I think about losing our motherland and the same pain that we would feel to lose her as well. I've been to Saibai, I started going there when I was 17. And when I was welcomed, it was like this, funny dance. And then as I went closer to the aunties to give them a kiss, they looked down to my feet because I got samutraik. And they said, you got traik blo mother blo you. And I knew that my feet were standing on my island home. I think about that land cradling and nestling my grandfather, growing him into the man that he was, that left behind a legacy that's very important for us to be here representing today. Here is the song, Mitamurpa, Uzumudaulag, My Island Home. And we're going to do this really unique thing, but you don't know the secret, because this microphone, it will catch both voices. I am here to supported today by my nephew, Danny Barney, who is a musical genius in his own right.
travel far across the ocean. He will never, never know. Forget me. My island home. My island home. My island home is waiting for me. My island home. My island home. My island home.
Welcome to BBM 98.7 FM. You're Bala Matty, and I have Uncle Popeye Popeye and Uncle Paul. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Uncle Popeye. Yep.
And Uncle Popeye and Uncle Paul, can you let the listeners know who you're and where you're from?
I'm Uncle Paul. Yeah. I'm originally from Torres Strait Islander. I'm from Saibai Island. Up northern Torres Strait, which is Gudamalungal Nation.
Yeah, Uncle Popeye, also from Top Western, Gudamalungal Nation, located in the Torres Strait western area, 5 kilometers off the coast of Papua New Guinea.
Thank you. For our listeners out there, can you let them know what today is going to bring from this climate change case?
Yeah, today is the... today is the closing argument for the government. We've got this started today until for a week. We'll have the closing remark on Friday. We've had this case since on our journey fighting for our communities for 4 years.
All right. And my next question for you is, what is happening now since the sacred sites that have been lost? What will the next step be after today?
That's a very good question, because I believe that we are the people of the culture, and sacred sites means that lost a lot to us, because we believe our spiritual connection, believe in our land, to the sea and to the sky. That's how the culture protocol stated on our three locations, Saibai, Dewan and Boigu.
Mm. Yeah. For me, as Uncle Popeye mentioned, that we are spiritual and cultural people. So why we're here is we don't want to lose our land, because our land is our identity and our culture. So that means if we gotta lose our land and culture, and we will be relocated, we'll be nothing. That's the important thing about this case.
And how long has climate change been happening in the Torres Straits?
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. So I've talked to many, many medias. It's been happening before, but we didn't take notice of what's been happening around us. So for Saibai, it's probably like when people have been relocated from Saibai to mainland Australia. That was back in 1947. But I think that's where climate change was. It's been happening since then. And now in our new millennium, we've got scientists on TV, and we now know it's happening. And now we realize that it's true. It's climate change happening.
Thank you, Uncle Paul. Uncle Popeye?
Yeah, back in the 60s, I believe that when I was born, the climate impact was already impacting our community, because I've got the experience from the older generation that saying that it's been the climate impact already been happening on our communities, because like Uncle Paul mentioned that in 1947, we did not even recognize that the climate change was happening, and until from the 60s to the 80s that been impacted, and we noticed that the erosion and the sea rise that infecting our grounds and destroying whatever the garden food that we have in our communities.
Uncle Paul and Uncle Popeye, thank you for coming on and having a yarn.
Thank you.
You're too messed up to remember. Hey, you mob, it's Jessica Malvoy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turb, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS, National Indigenous Radio Service.